This is the Gardening Network, and you have joined us on June 15th, 2015, and it is time to water your pants. I mean plants. You know that the old joke that you see around about watering your plants, your pants. And today we are going to be talking about watering techniques. It is probably the most important thing next to sunshine and good soil that you need to grow a great garden. And I'm Siobhan Shaw, one of your amazing hosts, and we're with Donna Butler and Lisa Sellers-Roberts. Donna is stuck in traffic, so she'll be calling in and doing the traffic report in and near Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which is where our guest is from. We've got Mitch Mays, who's the owner of Louisiana Nursery Home and Garden. It's located in Baton Rouge. And Mitch, welcome to the Gardening Network.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Well, we understand that not only do you have this amazing nursery that you and your family own, correct?
That's correct.
You do a gardening show on 11:50 a.m. and have been doing it with your dad for 20 years.
Yeah, I looked back at it, I had not realized it had been that long. And a few months ago, my dad said, how long have we been doing the show? I was like, I started thinking back, and I realized it had been over 20 years. So I guess it shows my age some. But, yeah, we've done a show, a call-in show, for I think it's been like 21 years.
So how can people find that call-in show?
It's 11:50 WJBO AM. It's the 8 to 9 AM Central Standard Time in the Baton Rouge radio. We actually share the show with three other independent garden centers in Baton Rouge. We rotate, and each business does the show once a month. We used to do it every week for a long time many years ago, and it got to be a little overbearing.
It is, isn't it? It's so much fun getting ready for a show 5 minutes before the show.
Oh, Lord.
Donna and I do another show called The Attitude Shift, and we used to do it on Blog Talk Radio. Now we do it on Google+, so people can actually see our smiling faces, but we know what it's like to kind of try to do your regular jobs and host shows. So it's a little bit crazy, but you must have gotten such a treasure trove of knowledge over those 20 years about gardening, not only because you're in the gardening business, you're running a nursery, but you must have had so many people asking you so many questions that you just had to learn far more than you knew when you started out, right?
There's no question. We've been in the business. My dad opened the business. It's been almost 33 years now. It was when I was in high school, so that'll give you a little tip of probably how old I am. But, yeah, I've been around plants and gardening my whole life. I love plants. I love gardening. And probably even more than all that, I love the consumers and customers that come to independent our stores. That's probably the funnest part about it is the customers and the industry we're in is that's such a great industry. So I love everything about it.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And you can always find Mitch and the nursery at louisiananursery.com. Very easy domain name to check out their website at louisiananursery.com. And I just wanted to remind everybody that the Gardening Network is sponsored by Little Crop Circles, littlecropcircles.com. Grow more in small spaces. It's launching September 8th on Indiegogo, and it's where you'll be able to buy your own little crops. Circle, and you can check out our Twitter and Facebook pages on Little Crop Circle as well. And we also have our field reporter, Donna M. Butler, who is going to give us a traffic report for the Baton Rouge area right now.
Doggone right. You are right. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm in Zachary, man. It is about to be crazy, dude.
With the storm coming in your area.
Yeah, that we've been getting, not as much as Texas, but we've been getting lots of rain the last couple months. It's been intense.
It is. I'm trying to get to where I can get some safety, but as always, I am your on-the-go reporter. I'm in nature. Nature has everything to do with gardening, so.
Especially the water part.
Lisa, take us away. Get us to the water part.
Okay.
I'm in the water park right now.
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
The clouds come on top of me.
what we wanted to ask you is, a lot of folks will ask about the soil. You know, we all live in different areas of the country. If a customer were to come to you and they're uncertain about the type of soil that they have, and especially when it comes to watering, if it's either sandy or clay, what do you tell them? How should they check their soil to see what kind of soil it is? And once they find out what it is, how can they make their soil keep water longer?
Well, I mean, one of the ways, you know, obviously we can ask some questions for them. They can give us some explanations. A lot of people will sometimes bring in Ziploc bags of their soil. You know, they'll bring all types of things in. But really, when it comes to watering, you know, and as we talked about, we all know and understand that it is watering maybe the most important basic fundamental of success or failure, you know, in gardening and in taking care of plants. And really there's three important points that we, because we try to make things simple, three points that we hammer across. Number one is, when is it time to water a plant, or when, you know, when should I water a plant? In other words, when is it time to water this physical plant right here? The second thing is, what time of the day, day or night, should I water? And then really the third thing is, how do I water? How's the proper way to water? And so really that's the three parts. If you can kind of get those three down, and those three, really, even in different parts of the country, in different situations, if you follow the basic answers to those three questions, then you're usually going to be watering correctly. So, you know, the when is, when it's time to water, as you said, is when the plant's dry. How can you tell if a plant's dry? Several ways. One, you can stick your finger the old-fashioned way in the root zone. That's going to be the area in the soil where the plant is, where there's roots. It doesn't matter if you plant a 10-inch pot, a plant in a 20-inch container. If the soil's wet 2 inches from the edge of the pot, it does not mean that it's still wet or moist closer to the plant where the roots are. So where the root zone is, or where you expect it is, put your finger in there, see if you feel moisture. Moisture meters are a good thing. But in general, when it's time to water a plant, in almost all cases, is when the soil's dry. Sometimes when it dries enough, plants will begin to droop a little bit. Obviously, that's another sign it needs to be watered. But the when to water a plant is when it's dry.
Okay.
The second thing on the three basics of watering is, what time of the day or when should I water plants? And that really does not change. The proper time to water all plants, if possible, is the morning. The morning is always the best time to water, because basically all your plants need enough available moisture from sun up to sundown, and then after the sun goes down, after that, over time, the plants will not need to absorb much moisture. And actually, if the plant stays wet at night, foliage and soil-wise perpetually, then you girls know that can cause a lot of problems, including fungus.
Yes.
And the third and final thing on the basics 1, 2, 3 of watering is how to water. And this is the one that I never really understood, I guess, because I've been in the plant business my whole life. But this is the one that lots of people don't understand. How you water almost all plants when it's time and the time of the day is correct is you soak your plant. You turn a soaker hose on. You turn your sprinklers on for deep soaking. You turn the hose on and let the plant in a container, you know, soak it, let it leach through. But the how-to is always you soak it and deep soak it. And I don't know what it is, but you can drive around any neighborhood during any dry spell, and you can see multiple people out there with a hose spraying and misting the tops of the plants.
That's true. It burns them.
It makes them feel good for some reason, but it's not doing much to the plant.
You see a lot of that.
So I covered the nutshell in a 1, 2, 3. Obviously, it goes a lot deeper than that, but that's really what we try to tell our customers. If you could pretty much figure out and understand and sort of master those three basic situations, in most cases, you're going to be a pro at watering.
So I have
that's
a question. A few shows ago, we had an expert on that helped Donna grow some things in a red stiletto. Grow some
huge
plants in a red stiletto. Coleus, is that right, Donna?
Coleus.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know from Donna how the watering is going in this shoe. And are you having any problems that Mitch can help you with?
Have you seen any pictures?
No.
Have you seen any pictures, ladies?
No.
I saw a picture of your storm.
Let me tell you about my shoe, and it's so funny that he's on here. I put a hole in the shoe, I was instructed, the little drain hole, a beautiful red stiletto, I might add, and I put my potting soil and my coleus. It was pretty for 2 weeks. And then it kind of has brown edges, and some of the leaves fell off. I thought it was moist. I mean, my husband said I killed it. He says that I put too much water in.
Overwatered, yes. That's a big problem with folks.
He said the holes weren't, says I didn't have the holes, and like he's some kind of expert, he says I didn't have the holes positioned right, and it was holding the water in. And maybe he was right. He probably was, huh, Mitch?
Well, I would tell you, first of all, in 33 years in the plant business, I've never, ever, ever had any customer, anybody ever ask me or tell me they planted a plant in a shoe.
Great.
So I tell you right now, that's a first for me. But beyond that, I would say with the signs you told me, with the situation of you had black spots in the foliage, that normally is a sign, if you know, just in general, that it's the plant is not able to dry out between watering. So I would say yes, it's probably the drainage is not adequate, and or some parts of the root system there was not able to dry between waterings. So that's my guess without seeing it. It probably stayed
okay,
a little
so
bit
can
too
I
moist.
Do it?
But
can I do it? If I brought you that, I mean, instead of bringing soil in a bag, if I brought you my stiletto, can you help me find the right plant to grow in my stiletto?
Yeah, I mean, you have to say, if we say and deduce that probably the way the stilettos, the shoe is shaped and all this stuff, it's not going to drain the best. You have to try to pick some plants that probably can take a little bit more of a wet location. Coleus, which especially the category of we call sun coleus, you know, coleus varieties that do well up to full sun, even in the Gulf South down here, which obviously with extreme heat, is a huge category for us. We sell tons and tons of sun coleus, and actually sun coleus is one of my personal favorite categories. I think it is absolutely, they're stunning plants, generally easy to grow, and if they ever get too tall and leggy, you just pinch them back, and they're beautiful in 3 or 4 weeks again. But, you know, one of the questions I would wonder about that, other than just the drainage, is, you know, the amount of the shape of the shoe, but also how much soil volume you have. I mean, was the soil amount you were able to put in there, was there much more soil than was in the pot that you bought it in?
No, because I have another shoe that hasn't been drilled. I have two. I'm going to come and see you with it. Honestly, I'm going to come to you. Because I'm not going to drill another hole in another shoe until an expert looks at it, because I am determined to have this happen.
I have a great idea. Mm-hmm. You need to go with a camera down to see Mitch.
Are you good with that?
And your shoe.
If Mitch is good with it, I'm going to see him this week. Because I really
absolutely is. Just contact me, and we'll definitely connect.
All right, that's going to be great. So, you guys, I'm going to show everybody that I am going to grow more in a stiletto.
In a shoe.
Yeah.
Mitch, I have a question for you. If someone comes and says they have a bed and it just stays too dry, and they water it properly, the 1, 2, 3 steps you've given them, and it just will not hold water, what can they do personally to modify that soil to help it hold water?
Really, that's usually down in the Gulf South. You don't see that very often where you have that situation where you have an area that's too dry. If anything, and I know you're using sort of a hypothetical, mm-hmm. normally we have the opposite situation where we have a lot of areas that don't drain enough, because you have two factors down here. You've got, one, we're flatter than a pancake, so you don't have much natural slope. And number two, obviously, just like South Texas, you know, we average about 60 inches of rainfall a year. So we're, you know, compared to most parts in the country, we're fairly, we get a lot more rainfall. Now, obviously, this year, the last 2 months, I think you guys in Texas have probably had that much in a couple months almost.
We have.
Close
we
to
have.
That. But if somebody's asking that, really the only two things that I can think of that you could do that would definitely help your situation. One, if you would add some Canadian peat moss to the mm-hmm. flower bed, you would incorporate straight peat moss into the bed. You know, peat moss itself can retains 40 times its weight in moisture, so it's definitely going to have holding power with moisture. And the only other thing I can think of you could also do with that is you could add some soil polymers, little crystals, looks like little white clear crystals. Mm-hmm. The brand that we carry is a brand called Soil Moist, which I believe is the most popular brand out there on the retail market. You could add some of those to your area, and what those polymers do, when it does get wet and when you do water it, those polymers absorb tons of water. And you've probably seen them. You turn little crystals, little powdery crystals, into looks like clear jello.
Yes,
and
yes,
what
yes.
those polymers do is they retain moisture once they get wet. They hold a bunch of moisture. And as the soil gets past a drying point, then they will actually release some moisture into the soil to help the root system. And then in turn, when it gets wet again, they will reabsorb water. So those are really the only two things. The final thing I would say was using a good mulch or bed dressing on top would help retain some moisture also. It's always good to mulch your beds. There's lots of options on what mulches you use, and that will always help, among other things, retain some moisture.
Yeah, I live in a very dry area in the interior of British Columbia, and we do put mulch on top, even on top of some of our pots. And it just seems to really hold in that water. I mean, I think it's really great. I have a question for you, Mitch. How about water getting on leaves? So you're watering, you got your hose out, you're sprinkling water. What happens if to some of these leaves that when the water kind of, I guess, stays on the leaves, it affects them somehow, correct?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you get into some nuances. There are some specific varieties of plants that prefer not to have foliage on, I mean, water on the foliage, which you can get some scarring. A couple of real common examples are poinsettias and also African violets. There's many others, but it's better on those plants than some other ones, if possible, not to wet the foliage, just water the soil. But in general, most plants, there's not, in most cases, lots of problems with having moisture on the foliage, either in the mornings, best. You don't want to have, you would prefer not to have water on the foliage in the middle of a day in South Louisiana or even in areas when it's 90 or 100 degrees outside mm-hmm. and sunny, because that will act as a magnifying effect, which you can actually burn the leaves. Now, obviously, when it's raining or after a rainfall, obviously it's normally cloudy, so it's not as much of an effect. The other thing about it is having foliage wet at night a lot when other environmental conditions are right, temperature and other things, that's when you get into a lot of fungus problems. And I can tell you, down in South Texas and South Louisiana, we've been in business, as I said, for over 30 years. And I would have to say that this year so far has been as bad or worse on general leaf spot and foliage fungus than I've ever seen. And it all comes down to
I think we lost him. Lisa?
I'm right here. I'm here. Donna's here.
I have ran upon somebody in the rainstorm. You have more pictures to come of how I look right now. But I want you to answer a question for a young lady who I met who wants to go live on the air and ask her garden question. Here is Christina.
Hi, you guys. How you doing today?
Fine. How are you? What was your name again?
I am Katina Hawkins, the author of Above Rising Waters.
Hi, Katina. It's nice to meet you.
Yes. My question is, what is the best type of flowers to plant that's colorful, easy to manage during the summertime, but will last through the winter?
Aha.
And we've got Mitch Mays back with us from the Louisiana.
Yes, I'm back.
Nursery.
And that I had the question, and I'll give you my answer. My answer is, if there was a plant you could plant this time of year, it would take the heat and perform and bloom throughout the summer, and then also bloom and perform through the fall winter time. If any of us could develop that plant, we could retire, because obviously it's very difficult, you know, to find something that's going to perform all the time. Now, if you're talking about take the heat in the summer and last through the winter, then you have to get into a situation of where are you at, what type of sun conditions you have, and a little more information. What part of the country are you in?
I'm 10 minutes away from LSU, home of the Tigers.
Well, that's right. Well, you're in Baton Rouge. Well, then there's lots of possibilities. Now, the question I have is normally if you're talking about a plant that's going to perform through the summer and take the heat and then come back every year, okay?
Yes.
Then you're normally going to be talking about truly a perennial. You know, an annual is going to be a plant that's going to be either a cool weather annual, a seasonal plant that's going to perform fall through spring during, let's say, in Baton Rouge, our, you know, middle to cooler season, or warm season annuals are going to perform from spring through fall. So plants that would perform in the summer but then come back every year, we're talking about perennials. So how much sun do you get in that location?
Well, my yard is fairly large, but I have a huge tree that has shade over most of the house, but it's kind of between. It's some parts of it that has a lot of sun, and it's some parts closer to the window that's more shaded.
Okay. Well, obviously there's lots of possibilities in the world of perennials. There's obviously a lot more possibilities you could plant in the sunnier locations.
Mm-hmm.
In the shadier locations, I mean, the number one shade perennial in the Baton Rouge area in the Gulf Coast that we sell are hostas. Now, I know that other parts of the country, in Atlanta or Dallas or the Northwest or Midwest, you know, hostas are more of a sun perennial, but down here in the extreme heat, they're more of a shade perennial. So in your semi-shade to shade locations, the answer, number one answer, but is going to be hostas. In the sun locations, you got probably hundreds of choices that would do well. I mean, I have personal favorites, but there's lots of possibilities.
Okay, and I have another little tricky question. Now, can I get those two flowers only in yellow and purple? Because I'm an LSU fan, and I want to do my garden that says LSU. Taylor, I'm laying it on pick today. I heard you was the best of the best, so I'm just laying it out there today.
That's right. On the shade perennials, that's going to be a challenge. I'm not saying it's not possible. On the sun perennials, I think you're definitely gonna be able to find that. God, just off the top of my brain, thinking about. All right, here's one. I just thought of a shade perennial with yellow. Your yellow could be Lysimachia. Lysimachia is there's lots of different species of Lysimachia, but they're spreading perennials. They come back every year. They perform in park center shade. Probably the most popular one we sell. The two most popular are the Golden Globe, which makes a real pretty yellow flower, and then there's another variety that doesn't bloom noticeably, but the foliage is very, very pretty, and the foliage is gold. So you could use that as your spreading. Then they stay low. They're going to be creepy, crawly, low-growing perennials with gold. So let me think about your purple. One thing I thought about for the semi-shade or shade in purple, there's a perennial called Lamium, L-A-M-I-U-M. Lamium, there's different varieties of it, but some of the varieties of Lamium have lavender to purple flowers. So you could do Lamium as your purple, and you could do Lysimachia as your gold.
Okay. So are you located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana?
Yeah, we have three locations, one on Perkins Road, one on Corsi Boulevard, and we have one location on Highway 42 in Prairieville.
Okay, well, I definitely probably would go to Perkins Road because I was a caterer for L.A. Ballers. I know you know of them across
Absolutely.
The street.
Yeah, you guys have a location down the street from one of my house, and I get boiled shrimp there all the time.
Mitch, is that where they can find you?
Well, I'm going to have to whip up something good. If you get me to do this creation and it comes out right, I may just cater a free meal for you for 10.
Sounds good. I love it. All right.
Well, here's Donna. Thank you guys so much for your input, and I'm looking forward to see what my new creation of the LSU Tiger Garden will look like.
Oh, thank you for your question.
Go Tigers. Okay, Donna.
Go Tigers.
Thank you for our caller. And Lisa, you wrote a great blog on watering techniques on thegardeningnetwork.com. Is there anything that was in that blog that we need to cover with Mitch today?
Oh, man, he has given so much great information.
Yes.
I do know that he already covered the times of the day as well. Mitch, can you think of anything we might be skipping on water questions that come your way?
Well, yeah, I mean, the only thing you got to remember that there's always going to be a few certain plants, as we talked about, that are going to be some exceptions to the rule. There are going to be a few plants that have odd nuances to them. But the one item or category that I would say there is going to be a big difference, cactus and succulents, those which, especially the worlds of succulents, which probably are one of the hottest categories of gardening in the country. It's a huge craze right now. We are seeing massive uptick on sales and succulents. Obviously, the great thing about those categories is really two things. One, you hardly ever water them. I mean, succulents can go weeks, if not months, without any water. So they're plants that really are really the only way you're going to kill a succulent or a cactus is if you overwater it, or if you if it's tropical type, if you let it freeze. The other thing is, often you grow those types of plants. A lot of times people do. They grow those plants in containers sometimes that do not have drainage holes. They'll grow them in terrariums. They'll grow them in bowls. And in that case, you would not soak your plant, obviously. Otherwise, you'd have a flood of water in your soil that would stay like a little lake. In that case, it's an exception to the rule. You would just lightly water the plants, very lightly, enough to lightly wet the soil, but not enough to saturate. That'd be one big exception to the rule.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's good.
Now, Mitch, one thing we haven't talked about, and we have a couple of minutes left, is irrigation. Is it a good idea to set up an irrigation system in your garden so that it's automatically watered and you don't have to worry about it?
Yes, it is. And there also lies in a little nuance of a I guess could be exception to the rule. Like I have irrigation system in my house because my irrigation system, when I set it and I'll turn it off depending on how much rain we have or whatever. But often if people have irrigation, their zones will only come on for 15, 20 minutes at a time, which is enough to water the top of the soil. Really, in true watering, that is not the adequate way. You want to deep soak your water to develop deeper moisture and deeper root systems. But if you have an irrigation system and you're going to perpetually be able to water plants adequately, it's okay to water less often because they're always going to get water. So that's an exception to the rule. You don't usually turn irrigation zones on for 2 or 3 hours at a time. If somebody tells me I have a sprinkler system, then each nuance is going to be different. If I'm going to turn my sprinkler on when I think it's time to, hook the sprinkler up, then I do recommend you water, you deep soak for a long time.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. And we have been talking to Mitch Mays, the owner of Louisiana Nursery Home and Garden, located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They have three locations there. Check it out, louisiananursery.com. And he's just had just such an amazing amount of information for proper watering techniques for your garden. So if you're just tuning into the show, you can always check it out in archive through thegardeningnetwork.com. And make sure you tune in every Monday with us, Donna Butler. Thank you so much for riding along today with your shoe. And I hope that you and Mitch get together and do a little video on your red stiletto.
I will.
And Lisa Sellers Roberts, our in-house horticulturalist, our expert, who is putting an amazing amount of work into the Gardening Network. She writes all our blogs, which you can find on thegardeningnetwork.com. Thank you so much, Lisa, for setting up our guests and the questions.
Very
and
welcome.
Everything. You're amazing.
Very and welcome. Enjoyed Mitch today, yes.
Yes, Mitch, thank you so, so much for joining us. We are sponsored by littlecropcircles.com. Grow more in small spaces. Coming to you September 8th through Indiegogo. Check them out, littlecropcircles.com. Mitch.
Yes.
Any final words? We have about 20 seconds.
Yeah, Would somebody please tell Mother Nature to quit raining all the time? It's just been crazy where either it doesn't rain at all or then it rains every day. It didn't rain the first week of June, and it's rained every day since then. It didn't rain the first 10 days of April, May, and it rained for 20 days after that. So, yeah, please let us give us a little better weather.
We'll pray.
Yes, that's the way to do it.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, ladies,
thanks
very much.
Donna. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.